Turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You know, when you look at what's going on in the world today, you think that everything is basically turned upside down. It doesn't seem like anything is going right, and it seems like everybody is out for themselves and out to do as much wickedness as they possibly could. And tonight, the message that we're going to talk about is what the people at Thessalonica told about Paul and Silas and their companions, and that they were turning the world upside down. So I want us to look at Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And this will be a very straightforward message because it's clear and to the point, because the Bible's truth is clear and to the point. And so in this passage here, they are on the second missionary journey. They have crossed over from Asia Minor into Macedonia, gone from Philippi to Thessalonica. And it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You know, Paul had the pedigree of a Pharisee. That gave him privilege to go in and speak. Folks, there are doors that God can uniquely open for each one of us, and we need to walk through those. We need to walk through those. It says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few, but the Jews which believed not. Now Christ had told his disciples, he said, if the world hates me, they're going to hate you. Now Paul was not in that group. He was on the hating part. And God's changed him, and now he's on the being hated part. It says, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. They don't have peace. They don't have contentment. They still have an empty hole in their lives, and they need Christ to fill that, but they don't know that. They don't care to recognize that. Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, okay? They were undesirables. They were people that were anti-everything. Kind of like protesters today. But these are almost professional protesters. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people, because Jason's house where Paul and Silas were staying. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And amen for that. You know, in way of introduction, we need to understand the Great Commission, because that is the mission of the church. It's all about Jesus. And it says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, right, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But the problem is, are we even willing to go out of our house? Are we willing to get out of this building and share what God has told us to share? You know, the reality of it is we have a debt to the early church. You know, there's a big deal today about ancestry. And everybody's ancestry.com, and you can go and you send a little DNA sample, and they say, hey, this is where you came from, and these are all, this may be in your lineage and everything else. Folks, our lineage comes from the early church. It comes from the New Testament church. And if Pentecost doesn't happen, we wouldn't be here. If the apostles hadn't done what they did, we wouldn't be here tonight. We'd still be in the dark. We owe our debt to the early church. They evangelized their world as they knew it. They went everywhere that they knew. Paul went first to Turkey, and then he went to Turkey and Greece, and then he winds up in Rome. He went to the civilized world at that time. He went to places where they would have the largest impact. He went to trading route centers, and he went to all these places so people would hear about this. There were churches started that Paul didn't even go to the city, like Colossae. They evangelized their world. They took the Great Commission seriously. And I think that's an indictment against the church today, that we don't take this seriously. We're more interested in programs than people. And they were faithful so we could have the message today. And folks, we in this church must be faithful so the next generation can have the truth of God preached tomorrow. Christ is coming back. We need to work as if this is our last day on earth. But we need to work because Jesus is coming. And the night is coming when no man can work. See, their challenge and ours are the same. And I want to point out something. The national political conversation are controlled by a small few. Laws are changed, and society is being changed by less than 5% of the people. Less than 5% of the people. We're a minority compared to the world. You know, people talk about the silent majority. We're the silent minority. Folks, if 5% can change the world into what it is today, what can all the Christians do? If we decided to do what we're supposed to do, we can change the world. We serve the same God that Paul and Silas served. We have the same Holy Spirit that Paul and Silas has. We have technology that they did not exist. That they did not have. And we have access and doors open to us that they couldn't possibly even fathom. And we don't take the responsibility to evangelize very seriously. See, we are commissioned to reach the world. The Great Commission is to the church, and we're just the next generation in the body of Christ. And we need to follow it. You know, people are being born faster than reborn. And researching for this, on estimates, every day, 385,000 people come into this world. Another statistic said every 8.8 seconds is born and in the day. Then I went to other sites and said, well, how many people are getting evangelized? And some websites said that 265,000 people hear the gospel every day. I don't think that's the case. And other people say, and I think it's very optimistic, that 175,000 people receive Christ every day. I think that's optimistic too. But let's just be optimistic here. You know what? That means there's a shortfall of 210,000 people per day. We're being outstripped by the world's birth rate. And if you believe these numbers, that means 6 million people in a year won't hear. And we have missionaries coming in and talks about cities with 2 million people and 3 million people. We're losing the race because we're not running fast enough. See, what did those early Christians have that we need? Well, first of all, they were on fire for Christ. They were on fire for Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, that was a literal thing because there were cloven tongues of fire on the heads of all those that were preaching at Pentecost. But through the book of Acts and through the New Testament, we see that the fire of Pentecost was still being fed. There was evidence of the Holy Spirit working through them. Is there evidence of the Holy Spirit working through you? The effects was that were souls won. And we see in the book of Acts that there was 3,000 saved and 5,000 saved and many things. And it says that it was added. But you know something? The issue is that they were feeding the fire. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this: where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Now, I'm glad that we have electric heat and gas heat and everything else. But when I went down to my grandma's, they had wood fireplaces. And I'll tell you what, if you did not stoke the fire in the middle of the night, if you didn't get up and put more wood on it, the fire would go out and it got cold. And folks, what's happening in church today is that the fire is going out because no one's putting wood on it. And the world is getting cold. I find it interesting here in this verse, it says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Boy, we are so fast to post something or forward something on social media. We're so fast to spread a lie or some viral thing. But we're so reluctant to share the gospel. We're so reluctant to do that. The world needs the church on fire. But what happened? Because the fire of Pentecost was still being fed. Acts chapter 2 verse 47 says this: praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was a daily occurrence that many people were coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. The world needs to see the church on fire. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he writes this, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Last Wednesday night, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the Holy Spirit giving us the answers to say when the time comes. See, we make up all sorts of excuses. "Well, I'm just not ready yet to witness." That's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. We need to, and we know what's happened in our lives, if it has. And then you can share that with other people. All you have to do is say, "This is the way I was before I met Christ. I met Christ, and now this is the way I am. And I know I'm going to heaven." We don't have to go to theological school. We don't have to do any of this stuff. We just have to be ready. And you know, the single thing is to know Jesus Christ, him crucified. It's a scary thing. Paul was scared, but it didn't stop him. See, we look too far into the church. It's not enough to be fundamental. we must be on fire. We stoke, we stand on the truth of God's word. And we're fundamentally sound here. But the issue is are we on fire? It's not enough to be doctrinally sound. We could be sound asleep. It's not enough to be preaching. We must be pleading. In Romans chapter 9, as I was reading in my devotion, Paul is pleading with the Jews to get saved. He says, I wish I could become accursed so you could find Christ. Folks, that's a totally different outlook than the world today. And that's what these early believers did. It's not enough to be Bible believing, but we must be burning. We must be burning. You know, the issue is that we have a burn ban in Bexar County. Most of Texas has a burn ban in it. And you have to have a controlled fire, a controlled burn. See, I think too much. We say, well, we just got to control everything so things don't get out of control. No. We don't need a controlled burn. We need a wildfire. We need to get out of the boundaries of what we've set up and go beyond that by faith and by God's grace and start preaching God's word and telling others about Christ. They were on fire for Christ. Secondly, they found true fellowship in Christ. In verse 41, it says, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 46, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Fear, not to be scared, but respect for God. And respect for his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Boy, that would be a change. That would be a change. And we use this verse this morning. And sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had deed, so everyone could be content, so everyone could be godly, so everyone could have peace. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. Oh, to be thankful. And singleness of heart. See, they were once divided, but now they are bound together in love. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we talked about Lord's Prayer for us, not the Lord's Prayer that he gave as a model prayer. And he prays for unity. We need to have unity in the church. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, with forbearing one another in love. And then what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They're bound together in love. They had all things common. They were working for a common goal. They'd all been redeemed. They all had a testimony. They all were walking the same way. The basis of their fellowship was the apostles' doctrine. It says, and they continued, which means they did it every day. Not only did they continue, they did it steadfastly. They looked for the details, and they made sure they stayed true and foundational to that in the apostles' doctrine. Folks, the truth is important. It is extremely important. And we need to tell the truth in love. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Folks, they found true fellowship in Christ. The first, they were on fire, and they kept on feeding the fire. You know, it's exciting. Have you ever gotten into something that's got exciting and makes you want to do more? That's what we need. That's what revival is in the church. They have found true fellowship in Christ because they're bound together by love, and the basis of their fellowship is the apostles' doctrine. They base their fellowship on truth, not on hearsay, not on I like him and I like her and everything else. No, it wasn't that. They celebrated the gospel in daily life. That's what they did. If we have nothing else to be thankful for, we have to be thankful for the gospel. Amen? And if you're not thankful for the gospel, then you need some change of heart tonight. You need a change of heart tonight. Do we have this kind of fellowship? What are we doing individually to achieve it? So they were on fire for Christ. Secondly, they found true fellowship in Christ. And thirdly, they were fully surrendered to Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, in way of background, there's Peter and John. They've walked into the temple. There was an impotent man. He was begging for alms. He said, we don't have anything, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. He gets up. He starts jumping. He goes into the temple and jumps up and down in the temple, and everybody's going nuts. And people are listening to Peter and John. And the same ones that crucified Christ are still in the crowd, folks. The haters are still in the crowd. Oh, no! It's happening again. And they come and they take him and they put him in front of the chief priests and the religious leaders. They say, stop this. Stop this. You know, today we have the same challenge. And people say, stop it, and we do. They say, stop it, and we do. It says, and when they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto the judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. Folks, when something exciting happens to us, we can't hold it in. And I'll tell you something. If you say, you got to keep this a secret, that's a guarantee to spill your beans. Maybe that'll try. I'm telling you right now, it's a secret that Jesus Christ died on the cross for being sick. Maybe that'll work, make us talk to other people. But they could not stop. They couldn't stop. They were seeing God work in their lives exactly as Christ had said it was going to happen. They were doing the exact same thing that Jesus did, exactly the way Christ said it was going to happen. They had the knowledge in the Holy Spirit to speak the truth exactly how Christ said it was going to happen. And it was exciting to them. And they couldn't hold back. And they just couldn't stop. They had to tell somebody about it. They had to do something about it. They couldn't stop. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul writes, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory for necessity is laid upon me. Woe, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Folks, there's more people born than being reborn. We didn't even talk about the death rate. It doesn't even look good either. But they could not stop. Oh, tonight, I want the Holy Spirit to motivate you to not stop serving Christ. Not stop until you have total surrender in your life for Christ. They laid everything on the altar. But the reality of this, too many Christians are trying to save their lives. They laid it all on the altar. We see here that if it meant financial loss, that was okay. If it meant prison, that was okay. To some of them, it even meant martyrdom, but that was okay. You know, Paul said, I think it was the church at Galatia, says, some preach Christ of contention, basically preach against me being in prison. He says, it doesn't matter. As long as Jesus is preached, that's good enough for me. That's a big paraphrase there. But basically, Paul, he didn't matter. He says, whatever state I am in, therewith to be what? Content, because he was thankful. And folks, if we were thankful about Christ the way we should be, we shouldn't shut up about him. We wouldn't shut up about him. No wonder they were effective. But see, too many Christians today are trying to save their lives. And lives are more than just our physical life. It's our reputation. What people think about us. Too many people are trying to be politically correct and try to straddle the line. It's time to get off the line, folks. And it's time to come on the side of Christ. And it's time to be identified with he who gave his life for me. We can't be silent anymore. Yes, we're a minority, but see what minorities can do in the world today? Why can't we? We have the God, creator of the universe. We have power, we have joy, we have peace, we have the truth. And as Paul told Titus, he said, you can put away all the arguments of the gainsayers from it. We know what Mark 8:35 says. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. There's nothing more important than the gospel of Christ to you for your salvation. There's nothing more important than the gospel of Christ to this church. It's our mission. There's nothing more important than the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. They're going to hell without it. And we're not running fast enough. We need to understand that if we do this, they will lose their impact for Christ. We will lose our impact for Christ. What we need today is genuine revival. And it can start with us tonight. The example of the New Testament church proves that it can be done. And they had a lot less resources and a lot less people than we have in the church today. Right. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's be on fire for Christ. Let's find true fellowship in Christ and in one another. Let's be fully surrendered to Christ. But in order to do this, you must know him as your Savior. And if you don't, tonight, you need to get saved. And for us, we need to get on fire for God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to live for you and to surrender ourselves to you. Take away all the stuff that's holding us back and cleanse us. Take away all of our fear and trepidation and give us courage and give us peace. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for what you've done for us and be so excited that we just can't hold it in. Father, we give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.